It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the BWI Live Recruiting Show. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. We have a special guest to start things out today. If you follow the show, you probably saw on Tuesday, former Penn State linebacker Curtis Jacobs was in the chat. He had some opinions about some things we were talking about on air. And so here he is to talk about those things. So we're super excited to have Curtis with us. Curtis, welcome to the show. I should say welcome back to the show. Always great to have you on.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be back. It's always great to be on this show, man. I love the things you guys talk about. I love just watching and being able to give my two cents. It's amazing.
We're going to get into a lot of different stuff. I want to ask you about Andrew Rapoulier, which was what we were talking about on Tuesday. I want to ask you about your draft journey and maybe some of the other Penn State players that you're looking for this year. But first, we do have to get to today's show sponsor right out the gate. That is My Perfect Franchise. If you're ready to leave the corporate rat race for the American dream, check out My Perfect Franchise, especially if you have business experience or if you experience in an industry where you have years and years and years of knowledge that you can finally put to work for yourself. Check out My Perfect Franchise. Andy Ludeke is a franchise consultant with extensive experience placing people like you with the perfect franchise to manage. It's not just getting you in the door, it's getting you in the right door. That's going to lead to great success. Whether things are booming or there's a downturn in the economy, the best way to protect your investment is to be in the right business, and Andy has personal experience putting people in those places, and he manages his own businesses, so he knows the ups and downs of the corporate life and running a business. So check him out. His services are 100% free. Andy at myperfectfranchise.net or 404-973-9901. Okay, Curtis, the thing that we were talking about on Tuesday was underrated players who we're not talking enough about. And additionally, you and I were talking off air. There was a graphic put out by On3's national team that had the Penn State that had tight ends ranked for the returning 2024 season. Penn State was not on that list. So, what goes through your mind when you see stuff like that?
It's just, in my opinion, it's honestly disrespectful. I know what I've seen from those guys from that room top down. I mean, I know Theo being gone, that's definitely tough. That's an elite leader, an elite player at that position. I feel like he's going to move on and have tremendous success. But I think that room is still very talented. It's a room that I kind of look at very similar to the linebacker room, as in there's super talented guys like Tyler Warren, a guy that honestly is probably tight end one off the board next year. And then you just keep going down the list. You got Khalil Dinkins, a proven guy. You have Rapoulier stepping up. You have the freshman coming in and Jerry. So just seeing that room, seeing what Coach Ty has been able to do, it kind of made me a little mad to see that graphic, honestly. So I wanted to give my two cents. I'm really excited for those guys. I think they're going to have a big year.
You mentioned Rapoulier specifically, and I think you said he's a future All-American. What do you see in him? What did you see from him that made you feel that way, that you were so high on his potential and his ability?
Well, you see those raw traits, kind of traits that I saw in Tyler Warren as well. Not as great with the ball in his hands, but you see the attacking the ball at the catching point. You see the elite routes that, honestly, there's receivers out here that can't run routes like that. And then you just see how he's developing and continue to get bigger and continue to be more physical in the run game. It's just, I've seen the development and I've seen how he learns, how he's just been a pro in this process. So from what I've seen, and even this spring tape, I still go back and watch the film see what I'm seeing from guys, see what I like. So I just think that's a guy that's definitely stepping into a breakout role, and I'm expecting him to do really good.
That's cool. You're still plugged in. You're still paying attention. So who are some of the guys that you think, outside of the tight end room, who are some of the other players that caught your eye, either, you know, in your final year or what you've been seeing recently?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's guys like, you see what Jamil Lyons has been able to do. I was really excited for Tony Rojas and Keon Wiley, two guys that I've been able to work with. Obviously, Keon has a little setback right now, but I'm sure just being able to keep pushing, he'll be back stronger than ever. You got Jamil Lyons. I think he's a future first-round guy. Zaki Wheatley. It's a bunch of guys, especially on the defense, just that are going to step into bigger roles, and I'm really excited for them.
One of the things that we've talked about, I think, on this show and kind of the expectation is the defense is going to be good this fall because, as you mentioned, bringing back so much talent, but there is that transition between coordinators. And I know it's a big thing that James Franklin's talked about and Tom Allen's talked about, making things easier to understand and the translation to be easier for guys. But how much is there, having yourself gone through a coordinator change, how much extra mental work do you have to put in to keep the same level of play you had before within the structure of a new defense?
Yeah, I really think it starts with the mentality. One thing that you look at from our defenses, going back from Coach Pry to Coach Diaz, the mentality never changed. We're always going to attack. We're always going to have that mentality that we're the best on the field and we have to produce day in and day out. I've had conversations with Devon about this a bunch of times. He's, if you didn't know, he's my roommate. Just with the coaching change being gone, Coach Diaz's philosophy and attacking mentality is always going to be there. So I think it starts with that. Obviously, there's a little learning curve when a new coordinator comes in, but that's just ball. I'm going through that right now, learning a new playbook. So it's just about being able to buy in to what the coach is coaching, accepting the coaching points, and then being able to play fast.
So let's talk about that. I think you just came through rookie minicamp with the Kansas City Chiefs. What was that process like for you, and how have you felt like you've been integrating with your new team?
It's definitely surreal. You step into the locker room, you see Pat Mahomes' locker, you see Travis Kelce's locker, guys that have been superstars in this league for a while. Granted, I haven't been able to talk to those guys yet with the rookie minicamp, just being the rookies and stuff, but it comes really fast. The coaches really dump the playbook on you. You got to really get in, learn, ask the questions. And I feel like I've done a good job of that to start. I'm just excited for what's to come. It's definitely an amazing system. I love what Coach Spags has going on. Just really allowing us to match, get in our zones, and just play ball, play fast. I feel like he had told me, just as long as you're getting better and developing, that's how people make it in this league. And it's just been great picking up those nuggets and being able to develop.
What was that moment like when you stepped in the locker room for the first time for something that I imagine you've been dreaming of your whole life? How did that feel for you?
It's surreal. You getting fitted for your helmet, looking at the logo on the side. It's a surreal feeling. And Coach Dan told me, like, you never really know where you're going to go. So it was interesting, like, seeing Kansas and Missouri for the first time, talking to people, finding out there's tornadoes and stuff down there. Like, it's wild. It's a wild experience, but I'm definitely grateful for it.
So you mentioned Steve Spagnuolo, who is the Kansas City defensive coordinator, probably one of the top five. I always like a loaded word, but he has defined, I think, a generation of defensive coordinators in the NFL over the last 15, 20 years. How have you felt like you fit into the defense, and how do you have there been conversations about what they're expecting of you from position or anything like that?
Yeah, I feel like my athleticism is always going to give me a chance, especially with the new rules they have going on with kickoff. I feel like that's my way in. Just being able to be an elite special teams guy. That's what Penn State really teaches you, just developing all those little aspects. So when my opportunity does come on defense, just being able to maximize it. And also being in a system where there aren't many linebackers. They have lost a linebacker. So mm-hmm. just being able to come in and compete early. I'm excited to meet my vets. I think I meet them next week. Just learn from them, see what they know. But it, from what I've been, it's been really great. The coaches have been really helpful. There's no dumb questions. Like I'm asking a million questions. I probably had like 20 pages of notes from this weekend. So
that's the good stuff.
It's definitely a lot, but it's just great to be able to be around coaches and really just get back to playing ball. You know, this process is more geared towards speed training and getting ready for the 40-yard dash, but it's just great to be out there playing ball again.
Yeah, and it's something that I know you love is getting into the weeds on the details and understanding the defense. And I guess the question is, how much more complicated or how similar is an NFL defensive playbook to what you experienced at Penn State?
It's a lot more different. There's definitely a lot more communication between guys. I feel like a lot of the guys that have been in the league 5-10 years, they have that communication down packed. They know what to talk about. It can even just be a look and they're already on the same page. But just me as a guy stepping in the door, I have to know everything. I have to figure out the signals, figure out the little communications that we have with each other. I feel like that's been a part of development for me. But just really just getting the playbook. It's my first week doing it. So I know I'll be able to develop and get better from here.
When you're looking at kind of the things where you fit into the defense, or I guess where are you working on that you see, okay, this is what they like to do here. I want to improve at X so that I know that I'll be, you know, a good fit here. I think you're a good fit just generally because the defense, from what I've seen historically, similar to what you did at Penn State in terms of like overall structure, but there's a lot more adaptability, it seems like, in NFL defenses. So is there anything that you're picking up on, okay, I'm going to get better at this to make sure that I give myself the best chance?
Yeah, right now it's just my eyes. A lot of this camp OTA stuff is more passing stuff. It's not really geared towards the run game. So just being able to improve in coverage, I feel like that is a main factor of one of my strengths, but I can definitely continue to get better as this summer goes on.
Yeah, I know. I never know with questions like this, but you seem like you've got a good perspective on everything. What was the draft process like for you?
It's definitely nerve-wracking. If you don't have the right people talking to you, telling you what it's going to be like, but I had a bunch of guys that I was able to talk to as resources, being able to reach out to guys like Micah, Jaquan Brisker, Jesse, even a guy like Ellis Brooks, all guys that have been through the process, had different stories, different experiences of what it was like for them, and being able to lean on those guys. And then you have the things you don't really know about, like training. I didn't know training was like that intense. Like at Penn State, we do our thing, we do our practices, but when you're training for the draft, it's like you train in the morning, you have your off time, that's where you study film, have your interviews, do that stuff, and then you have another slot in the afternoon where you're training. So I didn't know it was that intense, that fast pace, and then really drilling, trying to get better. And then you have the combine being what you look at as a kid, like, oh, this is amazing. I can't wait to be on that stage, be on that thing. But you know, like, you don't know that it's geared to mentally stress you out that whole week. So the guys that perform on the day of, they're top tier athletes because they take care of their body. They're able to do all these things, even though they're having meetings with coaches from like 8 to 1 in the morning, you know.
Yeah,
all day.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that the combine starts before the on-field stuff, where you're through meetings and interviews.
I didn't know
and stuff
how
like
insane
that.
It was. Like you got guys that are in the hospital for 4 hours on a time getting their MRIs and stuff. You have guys that have 6 or 7 interviews, informal interviews in front of coaches, and then after that, you still have to do your routine and get to a hotel room with your trainer doing stuff. So it's definitely a grind, but I'm grateful for the experience. Like I said, not many people get to do that.
Steven here in the chat want to make sure that everyone gets their voice heard. He says, thank you, Curtis, for playing so hard for good old State. Remember, fans in PSU Nation will always love you. Thank you so much, Steven. Thank you for being here. Thank you for
love
those
you
kind
guys,
words.
Man.
The draft day experience. What did you do? Where were you? People love to know like these stories of what that process was like for you. So what was your draft day like and your draft weekend?
Yeah, it was definitely nerve-wracking. I had been pretty much coming in that week with the impression that I was looking at a 3rd to 4th round grade. I felt like I had a really good off season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it didn't shake up like that, but I was just happy that I was around family, had everyone around me supporting me, and then being able to get that call from Coach Fags just telling me the situation that I could walk into. Obviously, it's not what you want to hear. You want to hear we're drafting you, but
yeah,
you have to quickly shift your mind. Like, all right, I need to make it. It's no time to really sulk about this didn't happen. I just really started thinking about other guys that have been in that situation. I even had a cousin. He used to go to UVA. He went undrafted to the Carolina Panthers. So. Guys like him calling me, guys like PJ calling me, guys that have been through that situation. So I didn't really have a chance to really get mad or get sad about it. It was just time to go. You know what I mean?
When did they reach out to you? How does that work for guys who are going to be, because it seemed like you were a priority UDFA, yeah, where you were snapped up pretty quickly by the Chiefs. So how's that timeline work with the 7th round and then the close of that? And then I'm assuming your agent is talking to people throughout then. How did that work for you in terms of that process?
Yeah, my agent was getting a bunch of calls, but I just gotten a couple calls. I believe I got a call from me personally. I got a call from the Chiefs and the 49ers. Those were pretty much my two top situations.
So just perennial Super Bowl contenders, no big deal.
Yeah. Those were the two teams that really reached out to me. Both said neither of them took a linebacker, and they were really interested in me. And I talked to my agent, and we felt that Kansas City was the best option. Might have had something to do with the taxes too.
That's fantastic. That's thinking on multiple levels there for sure.
Yeah, they definitely drill that into you. And I feel like the NFLPA does a great job throughout the process with seminars at the East-West Shrine Bowl, seminars at the Combine, just really informing us on what we're really getting into and how to be responsible with your money when you get into it.
Well, Curtis, I don't want to keep you too much longer. I appreciate the time you've given us. We've got to do this again. We're going to make sure we get you on in the future so we can get your thoughts on everything from the NFL to Penn State football in the fall. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm just going to say that I think you're in an incredible situation. I think you've got a great opportunity here. I just don't beat the Bills for me. Like, just the one thing. Just one thing for me, I ask. That's it.
You gotta talk to them about it. You know they gave us a dog, right?
In what do you mean?
In the first round, we got a it was a receiver they picked up. He's like,
oh, yeah. Oh, as a fan, like I'm neurotic and terrified of all of these things and all of the way that those will work out. But you know, for sure, when they play, I'll be rooting for you. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I always appreciate you, man.
I appreciate that. I'll definitely be back.
All right. Penn State linebacker Curtis Jacobs with us here on the BWI Live Show. This is our recruiting show, so we need to get into the recruiting information. And there was some big stuff yesterday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Bringing on our experts on the BWI Live Recruiting Show, Ryan Snyder and Sean Fitz with us. Guys, thank you for giving us some time to talk to Curtis. Now we've got to get into the news of the day. So, Fitz, how you doing? And tell us what's going on with Penn State football.
Well, first off, that was great having Kurt. He's one of the great personalities that's come through here. So it's awesome to see that. And I agree with the chat here that he deserved to be drafted. But he's in a pretty darn good spot. So pretty happy for that. I also enjoyed his thing about the taxes there at the end. If you watched, you saw on Instagram, I think it was over the weekend, Jair Brown went to buy a Cybertruck. And it was one of the funniest Instagram videos I've ever seen because he got to the end. His financial advisor was like, nope, don't do that. And it's a good little insight into, you know, what these young NFL players deal with. Because, yeah, he was hook, line, and sinker. And then his financial guy said, nah, I don't think that's the best. But we're here to talk about recruiting. Penn State picked up a commitment on Wednesday evening from Matt Henderson. From Virginia, tight end, another tight end. And he's a really intriguing prospect. And if you looked this morning on three, he is a 4-star prospect, 90 overall rated or not, or 90 overall rating, from on three. This is a guy like fits the mold for what Penn State has looked for in a tight end in the last several cycles. One of those guys that, you know, plays high school wide receiver is going to have to learn how to transition. But you look at Luke Reynolds, you look in this cycle at Andrew Olesh, you look at some of the guys that they've put into the draft recently, and Matt Henderson fits that bill. I'm probably going to talk about that. The interesting part of the back end of that evaluation in a little bit, but Penn State on the board with Matt Henderson on Wednesday evening, another offensive pickup for the Nittany Lions.
Ryan, I know you've done some work on this. This was a fairly quick recruiting process where he was offered just a couple weeks ago, and now he's a commit. So what's going on here in terms of why such a fast developing recruitment story?
Well, first off, T-Frank, how's my audio? Is it good?
You're okay, all good.
Usually we try to square that away before we join, but and I usually screw it up, so that's why I bring it up. But yeah, just offered on April 26th, I believe. So just under 2 weeks ago, and his workout was a couple days before that. And the feedback right after that workout was you know, Penn State is all in on him. And the big thing is, look, he's been a wide receiver the last year or two, and they really wanted to make sure, hey, look, we know you're athletic. We know you can catch the ball. We know you have everything. We want to see from that perspective, can you block? And so the feedback we got was when he came up in January, you know, that was a big discussion with them. And he's really been working on that ever since, giving them an opportunity to just kind of show, you know, how he's improving from a technique perspective in different ways. And so Hal goes, of course, back down there 2 weeks ago. It's the spring evaluation period, contact period, whatever you want to call it these days. And he gets an opportunity to really kind of see him up close and see how he's progressing from that perspective. And all the feedback right away was, you know, that he's really kind of exceeded where they thought he would be from that perspective. But if you know, or the, at least more I've learned about Matt, like this shouldn't be a surprise. This is a, you know, a guy who's 4.6 GPA. I don't even know how that's possible. I assume he's taking honor, you know, next level.
They added classes together our GPAs, and I think they got that. So
I don't know. I think
maybe.
What was that good back in the day, buddy? We might be a little short. Anyway, just kidding. I made honor roll once, actually. Never mind. Well, let's move on from that. But just a really good student, vice president of his class. Like this is a guy who, you know, everything off the field is excellent. This is also a player who, you know, his dad played at Richmond back in the day. His mom was a basketball player at Richmond back in the day. So very athletic family. So I think it's just another very good example of Penn State out scouting other schools or really understanding the landscape of tight end, especially. I mean, the tight end, man, how often are they doing this? I mean, I wrote this last night, like how many offers did Andrew Olesh have before? It was like 4 or 5 power four offers, Penn State offers. And within a month, he's got 12, you know, quality schools. Same with Lincoln Cure. I mean, Lincoln Cure, he was, you know, the guy we've been talking about so long is one of the best tight ends in the country. He had 4 offers when Penn State offered. Fast forward a month later, he's got 12 new ones after that. So it's just another example, I think, of Ty Howe doing a good job. And the recruiting staff, I want to make sure the recruiting staff is mentioned there too, because they get the ball rolling on a lot of that stuff, of just kind of understanding what they want at tight end, what they're looking for, and going out and being aggressive with those guys. So this is another great example of that, really. And 4-star rating already at On3, you know, and Charles gave him a 90, you know, which is the lowest 4-star. Wouldn't be shocked at all if he goes all 22, puts up some great numbers, and he's moving up.
Fitz, when it comes to the tight end position, I don't want to, because Ryan just gave us a great background on who he is as a player, and I don't want to diminish all of those things, but it does seem like with a position that a lot of teams don't play in high school, it's about height, weight, speed. It's about what is your physical, tangible ability, and I think, is Penn State just better at identifying guys who are going to translate all of those traits to the next level, or is there something deeper here that isn't just the physical freak ability?
Yeah, the Homer hat says yes, but also the data backs that up. It's really remarkable. And I just sent you a tweet thread from Cody Belair from On3 talking about evaluating tight ends. And it's very interesting because you take a look at the draft. And of course, that's how we measure ourselves in terms of ratings and things like that. But he had a friend in personnel hit him up and say, good luck ranking tight ends. None of these dudes played tight end in high school, and half of them are former walk-ons. That's like pretty accurate. I mean, when you look at what's out there, Theo Johnson and Brock Bowers, kind of the outliers in this, and Jatavion Sanders as well, in this class. But it comes from all over. You had guys that, Cade Stover was a DN. Ben Sinnott was a 6-sport athlete that walked on at Kansas State. There's so many guys that just don't make any sense. But you throw the data out there. Penn State's recruiting has found these guys, has developed these guys, and has put these guys in the draft. I mean, until, you know, Theo went a little bit later, Penn State had a run of second round picks. And that's outstanding. Yes, I think Penn State is kind of a curve setter when it comes to tight end. They recruit as well as anybody in the country. And you look at that room, and there's good players in that room. I mean, I don't know that Jerry Cross is going to play much at Penn State. He's a good player. Like, that's the standard in the room. It's, you know, we kind of put that one up on a pedestal along with a couple other positions at Penn State, and there's reason for it because the data backs it up. So, yes, they have been better at finding these guys. As Ryan said, when they find these guys blow up. Matt Henderson was not quite there. Michigan State was the big contender right there. But they found these types of players that are not sometimes the flat. I mean, Brenton Strange was not, I think he may have been a low 4-star, but he was not a big name prospect, a flashy guy. You look at some of the, Andrew Rapoyer was Penn State or Michigan, which is great. But you know, like Ohio State wasn't coming for that, Alabama, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Luke Reynolds
was also a 3-star when he committed, a guy who just blew up during the recruiting process because of the early identifiers, right?
Right. And you're certainly not going to hit them all. I mean, you can't hit any, you can't do that in any position, but Penn State, in terms of what they've done as tight end recruiters and tight end evaluators and things like that from Bowen, that fault line from 2018, where we're talking about Jonathan Holland as the starting tight end, and then all of a sudden Pat Freiermuth comes in. Since then, I don't want to say cruise control, but Penn State's been like on an absolute tear at that position. Yeah. So that certainly helps. They did it last year with Luke Reynolds, and Luke Reynolds added Alabama and Georgia. You never publicized them, but after he committed to Penn State. So like, you know, other schools are taking notice here. Olesh is interesting because it's like one of those ones that's like, yes, there's a national profile in that recruitment now. But this is an in-state kid that plays a position that Penn State has recruited probably better than any other position. So that one still makes a lot of sense to me. I said it last week on the show, Penn State, or actually it might have been earlier this week, Penn State is going to take two tight ends, and we're not really including Brady O'Hara in there. So still going to go full bore after Olesh. We'll see what happens with some of those other guys and those other official visits they have set up. But it's a good spot to be in if you're Ty Howe right now.
Ryan, go for it. Yeah.
I want to add, like, one other thing too I'd say is that the region overall, I wouldn't say is deep at producing tight ends, but over the last 4 or 5 years, it has been consistently producing like one or two top tight ends regularly. Yeah. And Penn State's done a great job with that. I mean, the thing about Joey Schlafler, I mean, he ended up being a 4-star, obviously a PA kid. Of course, you have Rapoyer, he's from New York, you know, ended up playing at New England schools. You have Luke Reynolds. Like, it has consistently produced like top at least like one or two top 10 tight ends, and Penn State's done a great job at identifying them early and staying on them. So it's worked out from the perspective of, you know, there is usually one or two really good guys at that position in the area, and Penn State does a great job in the region. Go ahead, Sean.
And they've established themselves as a school that produces them. And like, this is where you want to go if you're a tight end. And you look right. at, there's a handful of schools out there. Of course, Brock Bowers just came out of Georgia. Georgia's done a good job before him. Michigan's done a wonderful job. Iowa has done a wonderful job. There's a certain pantheon of schools that are out there recruiting tight ends, and Penn State is in that mix, and they've done a good job of selling that because, you know, Lincoln Cure is out there, but they had some national interest from some other guys in the last couple of cycles. It just so happens to boil down, and as Ryan mentioned, there's a couple of top guys in this region that's really worked out for Penn State.
I mean, even Khalil Dinkins ended up being a top 10 tight end by the time it was all said and done.
How does the class dynamic, let's zoom out now. Let's look at the class dynamic with Matt Henderson committing. You mentioned two tight ends, Brady O'Hara as kind of an athlete on offense. Are we getting into an area where the numbers are building up to where we understand where the pain points might be from a commitment numbers perspective? Like have the gates narrowed enough that you guys have a better view of these things, or is it still wide open, Ryan?
I still think at 13 commitments, it's more wide open than not. But that's why June's going to be so interesting, right? Because all they got to do is pluck off four or five guys in June, especially if a couple of them are on offense, and then it becomes a much more tricky. Now, don't get me wrong, like Sean, I'm sure you're going to point out, they have nine offensive guys. Like, yeah, on offense, it is probably a little easier to pinpoint overall. But when you still have that wiggle room, you know, and then they have some top guys out there, we've seen before where they maybe take a scholarship that we thought would be on defense, and then they'll use it on that offensive side. So there's enough wiggle room, I think, that you know, you can still point to those top offensive tackles and those top wide receivers that they want. But yeah, offense is filling up pretty quick.
Fitz, what are your thoughts on the situation?
Same. You got 9 and 4. Like most of the action the rest of the way out is going to be on defense. That doesn't mean they won't, you know, add more on offense. Obviously, receiver, a big sticking point there. Offensive line, tackle specifically, a big sticking point there, and then probably one more tight end. And then it's a little bit more open on the defensive side of the ball. Ryan and I were talking yesterday, defensive line. Good luck projecting that one right now. By the way, Ryan's got his projected class by the summer on the site right now. So
for offense, that, defense, I need some, give me like 5 days for that one, guys. I'm still chipping away at defense. That's hard.
One last thing, and I think that this is such an on-brand commitment from Matt Henderson in this class that, first off, I'm not going to say it came out of nowhere because Ryan was talking about this. He was trying to tell you about Matt Henderson a couple weeks ago, and if you missed that, it's because you didn't subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. You should do that. Subscribe for 2 months and get it for $1 because you are here on the YouTube channel supporting what we do here. Code PSU1, 2 months for $1, and you get access to our recruiting information, the insider perspective from these guys, because we can't get to everything here on the show, not just because it's a short format where we're only on here for an hour, but also because like the premium content, that's what we're giving you on the site. So go check it out for $1 and you'll get great access to all these things. But my point is here that this is a class of guys that maybe are hard to classify, and I think Penn State is banking on as underrated prospects. You go just Brady O'Hara. As an offensive lineman or as a tight end, where does he fit? Where does that projection happen? Keandre Barker has not played football in a while. Super talented player. Tyke Hayes, I think, is another guy who they're banking on as an underrated player that they have a better idea of than maybe some of the other places. Lyric Samuel, Beckham Kritza, the list goes on and on, as you see here on the offensive side, especially that this feels like a class that isn't going to be flashy by the end, but is going to have a lot of what Penn State, I guess, believes are guys that have tremendous upside in this particular cycle.
Just wait for Lyric Samuel. He's going to shoot up in the industry rating. Just give it time.
He had a good weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last thing I got here on the show for you guys today, and we can open up to questions here in the chat. We can talk about what you guys have in mind, is we are at the end of the spring semester. Graduation has happened. We are now on to the early summer session for Penn State football, and that means new freshmen arriving on campus. So Fitz, do you want to give us an overview of what's going on with the Nittany Lions and what you see from the latest additions for the class of 2024?
Yeah, with that spring semester window closing and graduation happening, there's first summer session is already starting at Penn State next week. So they're going to get four guys on campus, both Central Catholic guys, Caleb Brewer and Malachi Williams, who is my intriguing guy for this class. A lot to like there. But these guys are going to come in. Remains to be seen how quickly they get dropped into the fire in terms of workouts and things like that. But it's an extra 6 weeks or so than the other guys. There's five guys remaining in terms of enrollment that's supposed to happen in June. But gives you a little bit of a leg up there. Penn State had eight guys come in this time last year. Didn't really do a ton in terms of getting them to the field faster. I think seven of them, with the exception of King Mack, all of them had red shirts except King Mack, and of course he's gone now. So it's sometimes can work, sometimes it can't. I'm interested to see how quickly Malachi Williams can take to that strength program, to that nutrition program. He's about 220 pounds right now, which I'm not worried about his weight at all, but it's, you know, something to watch when he walks in there. And he's going to be the thin guy there. Peter Gonzalez, of course, people are going to look at receiver and say who can help at receiver right away. Mm-hmm. Don't know that that's the one that you want to lean on, but he's certainly taken on all comers before, and he's done a really good job.
Ryan, what do you think of just the state of this particular class and getting these guys on campus?
Yeah, it's always good to get them on for as soon as you can, right? I mean, they would have loved to have had those guys here for early enrollees. I don't know the situation. Well, Caleb Brewer wanted to wrestle. You know, he was originally going to be an early enrollee, decided to wrestle. And then I know with Central Catholic, they're not allowed to enroll early. So it's, you know, I think all three of those guys probably would have been here. I'm not sure on Malachi's situation, but, I'll go back to Gonzalez just because of I'll never forget his camp performance and how much he stood out and so many drills that, you know, we thought he was be decent at, but then just kind of exceeded everything. You know, it was silly, like a 4.2 shuttle, and had that crazy broad jump, which was, you know, 32 feet or something like that, bigger than anybody else. So there's a lot of athleticism there. Is he a guy who can play right away, though? I think that's going to be very difficult, especially when you're only getting here in May. So yeah. I know Penn State fans want to see a receiver step up. I still kind of would lean towards Tysier as the one that has the explosive twitchiness that could maybe benefit them earlier. But at the same time, I wouldn't bet against Peter because I feel like all the intangibles are there to him to learn the playbook and find a way, maybe not this year, but next year potentially. So yeah. That really stands out to me. I mean, Speck is going to be a quality middle linebacker prospect, another guy who tested better than I think a lot of people expected. You know, a guy who I absolutely could see being a captain down the road, you know, depending on how his career goes. But without a doubt, I mean, Williams is the one that pops, that kind of really grabs your attention as somebody who, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to be Jameel Lyons. And we got to see how Jameel progresses too. But, you know, Jameel showed us enough last year to think that he's going to be a special player. I don't know if I quite would go that far yet. Just because, look, we have way more information on Jameel than we do on Malachi. Did he test, Sean? Did Williams ever camp at Penn State? I don't believe he did.
He did camp at Penn State. I don't have it in front of me. But, okay. Go talk for a little bit. I'll see if I can find it.
But and then, you know, Brewer is a guy that, you know, they identified early as, look, he's a quality interior offensive lineman with wrestling experience, knows how to mm-hmm. use leverage, you know, a guy that from a wide missing program that, you know, they've consistently been recruiting pretty hard over the last couple of years. And
very athletic.
And I think they really like his wrestling background too, and his understanding of leverage and all those kind of things. Like that is one thing that has consistently been brought up to me about that background for him. So, you know, I think all four, certainly I'm not going to predict that they're going to be on the field there anytime soon, because that's not easy to do even when you are an early enrollee. But at the same time, you know, they're quality players that Penn State's very happy to get here and get rolling.
I got a 4.43 shuttle for Williams, just so we're
okay. Thank you. Yeah
his short area quickness combined with, you know, his twitchiness is something that they really like. And that's something that popped when he was at camp working with Deion, is he's like one of those guys that was, you know, a lot of work to do to play against the run. Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of work to do to get bigger, stronger. But I think he kind of like Shaka is going to fill out. And then all of a sudden, you know, redshirt freshman year, sophomore year, all of a sudden look like a different person.
Yeah, and he's got great length. I know that's one of the things I liked about him, even if he isn't 6'5", or isn't like the prototypical, I think, sometimes sometimes it does get to the point where you're like, what's the difference between 6'3 and 6'4? Especially when you've got good levers and you've got the ability to fill out eventually. So a really great prospect on Penn State's defensive edge board. This from HLL Aristotle in the chat. I know you're going to love this one, Fitz. Is there any possibility of landing a wide receiver from the portal? Because, you know, we talk about Peter Gonzalez. I'm probably as high as anybody on his potential. You guys have outlined all of those reasons why. But, like, is he ready this year? Probably not. Penn State fans want to feel a little bit better about this situation. The portal is still open for players to go to new programs. How effective could a guy be if they were even to sign somebody here, Fitz?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what's out there in the portal, and the portal's closed now, so it's not a situation where you can go in. There ain't much. I mean, you look at some of the guys that have gone to bigger programs in the last week. I know Texas A&M took a guy from Iowa that didn't have a catch last year. You know, like there's that is the sort of thing that you're talking about taking on. You're talking about guys that you would have to project to leap your entire room, essentially. That's what you want if you're Penn State, to find a number one. I'm not seeing it out there. Like it's, and we said this about like Elijah Badger a couple of weeks ago, like good player, guy that, you know, is he the stone that you throw in the middle? I don't think so. So like, that's kind of what I'm seeing with wide receiver. So like the hopes are not high. They're going to continue to look. I know that they've been, you know, just sort of putting some feelers out and things like that, but I don't think that anybody like jumps to the top of the list and says, hey, all of a sudden he can come in here, be a starter on short notice. And go from there. I'm not seeing it right now.
Ryan, any thoughts on the portal and what you think? If it's not wide receiver, if they have an opportunity to add to a different spot, would they? And I guess
the I don't question think so, too no. is,
yeah, do they have a position where the player could contribute early? Because we talk about looking at receiver. The whole problem with Dante Cephas last year was he didn't get here until August, and that caused a major problem with his integration into the offense, and eventually never really went anywhere for a number of reasons, but that was also a big thing. Positions that need to know and can't kind of just go play ball. You know, I think about Chop Robinson, like his pass rushing specialist as in 2022, that integrates a little bit better. They don't need help at that particular position. So is there anything out there, Ryan, that you think they could address at a position that would be efficient use of their resources at this point?
I got so many things I can say. So no, I don't. So I would say this, like a couple things. One, when you're in the transfer portal nowadays, and this is how Penn State's at least approaching it, is you're going to have to bid. I mean, the portal is becoming basically free agency. And I know that's the easy way to put it, but like, if put this way, if they're going to bring in a wide receiver, they're going to have to pay money for that guy, probably overpay, actually guaranteed overpay.
Absolutely.
And how does that offset the room potentially? So that's why they're going to aim very high at that position, because they do not want to deal with any locker room BS as well. Would you agree with that, Sean? Like, I mean, I feel like that's a big part of it.
Yeah. And you've got to understand that like your evaluation needs to be on point. You can't bring just a guy in. And because that'll, you know, that's going to be something that splinters the room even further. And I know Penn State fans are fine with blowing up the room, but like, they've kind of done that already. So now
you need something on the roster for this fall.
Yeah. Now the healing starts. That's what you've got to, these are the lines that you have to walk. And like, you look at a couple of positions that they're targeting in linebacker and safety. Well, they're not bringing in somebody to start at linebacker. They're not bringing in somebody to start at safety. How do you sell that to a guy that's in the transfer portal? The only way that happens is a guy that you know really well, a guy that maybe always wanted to play at Penn State, a guy that you know that your coaches know really well, that's just out there. And I hate to say it, if you're in the portal, you're not seeing yourself as filler for the most part. If you're looking at Penn State, you know, if you're looking
a Trey Potts, for example, somebody who fits a very specific situation,
you have to know what you are. You have to know the situation. You have to be okay with the situation. And to be honest with you, that draws down the talent pool quite substantially.
Like the spring, especially the spring portal, like it's, for lack of a better word, cast offs.
Yeah.
You know, like it's there are a lot of guys who want to give it one more shot this spring. Nah, not going to happen. I mean, I'm just looking at our portal right now, or the, you know, some of the top guys left in the portal. Here's their predictions: Cal, Coastal Carolina, Tulane, Colorado State, Ohio. There's one Washington, a Liberty, a UConn. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are a lot of guys who were at Kentucky or Purdue or higher Power Four schools. And now pretty much all the predictions are they're going down a level. And that's really what you're seeing with a lot of these players, especially in the spring. I think if Penn State was seriously going to have a somebody out there that could come in, I think they would have visited by now, too. I mean, the portal's been open for – I mean, now it's closed, obviously, but don't you think they would have had somebody on campus by now, Sean? They've had like three, four weeks that would have – somebody would have popped up, I feel like, and we haven't heard anything like that.
Yeah, probably. I think that you know, it's one of those things where you would like to get in before this window, like this weekend. So it's not a hard stop deadline, but like you would like to have a guy that can come in. I think Potts came in at this time last year. Alonzo Ford came in at this time last year. So it's a soft, it's a soft landing that you want to get those guys in here by now. So, I mean, I haven't seen it. Unless they,
but those guys all visited before though, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm talking in April. And I'm saying like just visiting, just getting them on campus to visit. I feel like we would have heard some names by now. And then those guys were end up enrolling this upcoming weekend, just like those four freshmen are. So, I mean, the fact that we haven't heard anybody even like visiting tells me that not this is your roster for the 2024 season.
I agree. So, and I, like I said last week on the show, won't feel comfortable about that until, you know, August. But that's kind of where we're at with that. Because those guys can, you know, they maybe have to finish up their own academic work or something like that. There could be those stragglers that potentially pop up this summer or something like that, which is why we would leave the door open for that and not slam it shut. So, but I agree with you for the most part. I'm looking around. I ain't seeing much.
Miami to Charlotte. Cal to Marshall. Tulsa to FIU. I'm sorry. I'm just going down these lists. I mean, they're all guys that are just going down a level. Sorry.
Go. Yeah. Well, I just was curious. Like, that's what I got for today. Any final thoughts? Anything that's interested you that we didn't get on the rundown you want to talk about, Fitz?
Yeah, there's a comment in the I don't know if you talked about it yesterday, but Keon Wiley's injury and how that changes things for Penn State. It doesn't really change a ton. They were going to go after a linebacker because of the Wiley injury. This is something we've been talking about on BlueWhiteIllustrated.com for, you know, over a month now. And it's a really unfortunate situation because this is a guy, not only was he on the ascent in terms of his development, but also he was so versatile. Like we saw him, I believe the first day of practice at all three linebacker spots, T-Frank, if I recall correctly. So like that was a guy that I circled coming into spring as a key player that may not have been a starter. But would have gotten on the field. So changes a little bit at Mike, changes a little bit at Will, you know, it just kind of changes that whole dynamic of that room. And, you know, when he went down, Penn State started looking at linebackers, not much out there again. But that one changes some things. You know, Nate said it before that you'll see Abdul Carter play some linebacker roles. He's not moving back to linebacker, but you'll see him play some of those roles. But it's really going to be a balancing act without Wiley in there.
Yeah, I think also changed the tenor a little bit of what James Franklin was talking about during the spring, where at the beginning he says, we like the linebacker depth we have, we think it's going to develop, and then by the end he says, we need to develop some linebacker depth. So part, I think this kind of informed some of those conversations and why Tammy Robinson and Kavion Keys are so important for their progression over the next couple of weeks. Ryan, what about you?
I would say that there's not a whole lot from this week. You know, the Henderson thing, I wrote a story earlier week about, you know, what's going to happen at tight end. Well, that kind of all has now come public. So there's not a ton. Penn State locked in an official visit with a West Coast kid. We'll keep that kind of behind the paywall for now. But I would say moving forward, you know, next week is the All 22 Elite 11 at State College. That's next Sunday, as well as the Under Armour camp in Baltimore that same day. The point being there with that is that because of those camps, you know, I think we might see some guys get on campus next week and, you know, give us something to maybe talk about next Thursday. But we're still kind of in that wait and see, you know, just get us to June period. That commitment last night was good and something for fans to be excited about. But it's still, for the most part, a slow couple of weeks here.
Yeah, who was it here in the chat? Z-Man bringing the heat with just June. He wants June to be here as soon as possible. Guys, appreciate your time today. I think this was an awesome show. Thank you for being flexible with the show rundown and for helping us get Curtis on the show. So thank you so much for being here and for all the information. Again, check out BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. We mentioned it. Ryan mentioned it. The stuff that goes on, the breaking news, we get it to our subscribers there. 2 months for a dollar code PSU1. I'm Thomas Ryan Carr. We'll be back with the wrestling show. Some more information on that program coming up here on the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel with Greg Pickle. Till then, we'll talk to you later.